And again Jesus said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God?" This is Luke 13. "It's like yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until the whole was leavened." That is, until it rose up, because yeast is what you put into flour to turn it into bread, so that it rises up into a loaf of bread. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is like that. In other words, it's very little, but it has this big effect. And it can turn very ordinary, boring stuff like white flour into a nice loaf of bread. And he's just said that the gospel is like a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds and all the trees, but he throws it into his garden and it grows and becomes a huge tree, and the birds of the air come and live in it. So the idea is that from very little beginnings, great things come. So the example would be the man on the street in Riga who picked up a leaflet that someone else had thrown down and had a footprint on it, where someone had walked on it, filled it up, sent it to me, and then he got baptized in the end. And as a result of him, all this work happened here in Riga, in Latvia. So that was all because of how things start very small. And when we're in the kingdom of God and we look back thinking, wow, I've got eternal life, we will be a source of refuge to others, to the birds who come and live in the branches, as it were. We'll look back and we'll think, that was crazy. Yeah. Birds will nest, as it were, in our branches. We'll look back and think, that was crazy. Because I read that book, the Bible, that was God's word, because I listened to Mum and Dad explaining it to me, or whatever it was, because I just happened to encounter so-and-so who told me about the kingdom of God, because I just happened to find a leaflet, or I happened to find this or that on the internet, wow, here I am living forever. And it will all seem so absolutely crazy that such a great thing, everlasting life, happened from just such small beginnings. So Jesus went throughout the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" And he said to them, "Try to enter in at the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will try to enter in, but will not be able. Because when the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, then you'll begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' And he will reply, 'I don't know you from where you are.' Then shall you begin to say, 'But we've eaten and drunk in your presence. You've taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you from where you are. Depart from me, you who work iniquity.' There will be weeping and banging of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they will come from the east, west, north, and south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And they that are last will be first, and there are first which will be last." So this is the old question. Are lots of people going to be saved, or few people? God told Abraham his seed would be as many as the stars in the sky, or the grains of sand on the seashore. And yet Jesus also says, many are called, but few are chosen. And this is an old question, and they asked it at this time. And Jesus replies, as he often does, in a very clever way, by talking on a higher level than the question. Are there few that will be saved? You try to enter at the narrow gate. Because when he comes back, there's going to be a lot of people who say, oh, Jesus is back. Yeah, let me in the kingdom. And he's going to say, but I don't know you. And those people are going to say, but we thought we did know you. Didn't we have you in our streets, in our presence? Didn't we know you? And he'll say, no, I don't know who you are. And that's why they'll bang their teeth. They'll be so angry with themselves because they had the chance of living forever. And now Jesus has come back. They've been resurrected. There's a day of judgment. They see the kingdom of God established. And it's too late.
They're
going to
die.
Yep, they will die, what the Bible calls the second death. And so that is why they'll bang their teeth when they see the future that they could have had, but they missed it. And so Jesus is saying, because of this, because it's going to be tough at the last day. There'll be people who are resurrected to judgment who won't make it. Then you try to enter in at that narrow gate. Don't worry about how many are going to be saved. Don't let that distract you. It's like people getting distracted with this question of, is God fair? Or why does suffering happen? Well, we don't exactly know why this, that, or the other happens, because we're just tiny little people, little ants compared to God. And we will not understand it all. But we are to seek above all things to be in God's kingdom. The same day there came to him some of the Pharisees, saying, get out of here, leave here, because Herod will kill you. He said to them, you go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons, he cured people of mental illness, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I will be perfected. But nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, because it can't be that a prophet dies outside of Jerusalem. So he's saying, look, I know I'm going to die, but I know also that I'm going to die at Jerusalem, so I'm not scared. You see his strength of resolution, his strength of will, his strength of purpose. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those that are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered your children together, like a hen gathers her little ones under her wings, but you would not. You see, Jesus likens himself there to a hen and to a female hen. This is at a time when women were generally not respected, and he likens himself to a female hen gathering her little chicks under her wings. But he says, but you're like nasty, rude little chicks who wouldn't come under their mummy's wings and ran away. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, and truly I tell you, you won't see me until the time comes when you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Well, I think what that means is that, okay, I'm going to die now, and you, the Jews, will not see me again until a time when you look at me and say, oh, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And when's that? Because it wasn't in this life. I think it means that when Jesus comes back, the people of Israel who rejected him will be resurrected, and they'll say, oh yeah, this is Jesus, I remember him. Yay, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We're on your side, Jesus. And then he will say what he just said, I don't know you, go away. And so this will be the pain of rejection for people, that they will see the kingdom of God but can't enter it. It was like Moses. He could see the promised land, but he wasn't allowed to enter it. And it's like that officer of the king of Israel in the time of Elisha. And there was a siege in the city of Samaria, and Elisha said to him, within 24 hours, within a day, there's going to be plenty of food. And he said, what rubbish. And Elisha said, you'll see it with your eyes, but you won't eat of it. And then, miraculously, God did provide the food, and the Syrians all ran away and left all their tents, all their food in it. And they brought that into the city, and suddenly there was loads of food. And the people went surging towards the food, and they trampled that officer underfoot. He saw it with his eyes, but didn't eat of it. And so this is a feature of people who are condemned. That is, people who will come to the day of judgment and be told, you can't be in the kingdom. That they will see, as Jesus says here, you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets sit down in the kingdom of God. You will see people come from the north, south, east, and west. East of Jerusalem would be here in Latvia. Sorry, west of Jerusalem would be here in Latvia. You will see all those people, and you won't be able to be there. That is how awful condemnation is going to be. It's not true that Jesus is going to burn people or torture them with fire. They will themselves bang their teeth because they realize themselves, what a fool I've been. I could have been in this wonderful kingdom, but I'm not going to be there. And so, well, I expect they would like to kill themselves. Yes, in another verse it says they will seek death and not find it. And so, men really who don't want to be in the kingdom will not be there. But when you talk to people about the kingdom of God now, they're like, ah, yeah, I'm busy, you know, man, I'll talk to you about it later. Well, no, I don't know what to think about all that. Or they might even say, ah, yeah, that's all rubbish. But if they have heard the gospel, they'll be resurrected to be judged, and no one in that day will be indifferent. Everybody will want only one thing, and that is to be in God's kingdom. Now, if that is how ultimately we're going to be, then in this life, that is how we should be, wanting above all things to be in God's kingdom and to live our whole lives like that.